Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Boy, do I have a treat for you today. We have a frequent guest and a good friend of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We've got Monica Swanson. Now, we've talked before about her book, Raising Amazing, but she has a new book that I think a lot of you are going to really appreciate. Now, Monica, as you know, she is a popular blogger. You can find her at monicaswanson.com. She is host of the Monica Swanson podcast, which was formerly called the Boy Mom podcast. And her newest book is called Becoming Homeschoolers: Give Your Kids a Great Education, a Strong Family, and a life they'll thank you for later. I just think that is so amazing. Now, Monica and her husband live on the North Shore of Oahu in Hawaii. I have had the incredible privilege of being able to visit Monica in Oahu. I know it was a real hardship, but you know, I just took one for the team and was willing to do anything I had to do right for the show. No, really. But they have four boys, one who is a college graduate, one in college, another who is a professional surfer, and one still at home. And Monica, I've got a lot of questions. I cannot wait to get started in this conversation. Thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Oh, it is such a joy to get to talk to you and all your listeners. So I'm excited.
It is exciting. You have such a beautiful family. And I think one of the things I admire most about your family is just the close relationships you have, how your boys all love each other and just enjoy spending time together. You've cultivated those relationships. You're seeing the benefits of those, of that work that you did. And in showing that and sharing that with your community is so exciting. And, you know, when I was reading your book, one of the things that you talk about in here was that as you were writing a chapter in your previous book about homeschooling, you shared with your husband, Dave, you know, I think that this is not just part of our story. Homeschooling is not part of our story, but it's the main story. So tell us how that inspired you to write this book specifically dedicated to homeschooling.
Yes, it's actually such a fun part of the story and how this book came to be, because I've written, you know, on my blog and two books now, really wanting to just encourage and support families, wanting to just really encourage families to be intentional in their parenting in all ways. And that's been my heart. And though we've been a homeschool family for over 18 years, I just never really considered writing a book about it. But it was in a final chapter of my book, Raising Amazing, that I got going. And I was just talking about how kids spend their days and just encouraging families to really be intentional, thinking about, you know, however your kids are spending their hours each day will one day be their childhood memories. This will be what they look back on. And as I wrote that, I planned to do a paragraph or two about homeschooling, and I got a little carried away, and the paragraph turned into a couple pages. And pretty soon, that's when I looked up at my husband, and I went, I think I just realized I haven't told the whole story. And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, you know, I just don't think I've ever really acknowledged, even to myself, that homeschooling has been, next to our boys' relationship with Jesus, it has shaped them more than anything else. And so that really was what grew to become the next book, Becoming Homeschoolers.
Well, and you write that you had told someone that if somebody had told you and your husband at the beginning of your marriage that one day you would be homeschooling parents, you would have called them crazy. And you didn't start out that way. I mean, really, life kind of threw you a curveball, and your husband having a residency in Hawaii, you decided to stay there to raise your boys there. I love the things we've talked about before, how the things that are wonderful about Hawaii is that it is such a slower pace of life. There's a less lower emphasis on materialism, but you did put your boys in a preschool, and that was kind of the direction you were going until God really pulled your heart. So how did your homeschooling journey begin?
Yes. Well, it's kind of funny looking back now, because I don't remember having a single conversation with my husband when we were dating or newly married, or even when we had a baby. We didn't talk about education. I think we both assumed, because we were raised in a public school, we just assumed that our kids would do the same thing. But everything changed when we had kids of our own, and when we kind of looked at the options around us and started to learn more about the schools and the school system. And then we did start our kids in a private Christian preschool, and pretty soon we had three kids, and we looked at each other and we're like, first, we can't afford this. Like, there's no chance living in Hawaii. Yeah. We can afford to send our kids to private school. And second, we already were seeing things from our culture creeping into not just public schools, but all of the schools. It was just what was happening in the neighborhood, what we saw. And I thought, you know, it was my son who brought it up. He came home from first grade and presented to me the thought of, hey, Mom, what if you homeschooled me next year? And I was not prepared for that in the moment, but it was over the next few months after that that God really worked on my heart, and I decided that maybe I could give it a try.
And you did, and it was kind of staged. You talked really transparently about starting, you know, some of your boys, but then still having one in preschool, and kind of
totally.
Where was the messy middle of all of that?
Right, yes. Well, you know, again, my memories of people I knew growing up homeschooling, I had a pretty typical stereotype in my head of what a homeschool family looked like. So
denim jumpers.
It was a very uncomfortable transition, yeah. And my husband, too, when I brought it up to him, he was like, aren't homeschoolers kind of weird? And can you even do that, like, legally? Like, neither of us had any idea. So we started slowly, brought home two of the boys, kept one in preschool. But by the end of that first year, not only was I convinced, even though it was hard. I mean, that first year was the hardest year of all, but I was convinced it was the right move for us. But my husband was completely on board and became just as big of a fan of it as I was. So everything changed over time.
And obviously, you know, the end of the story is that your boys have thanked you for the life that they love. And you, I appreciate, Monica, that you're very transparent in sharing the good, the bad, and some of the ugly, you know, the ugly tears you cried on some of the hard things that happened there, because it is a growth over time. And I think that, you know, when we look at trends in America, you share an analysis from the Washington Post that says homeschooling has become the fastest growing form of education in America. Why do you believe that there's been this shift, this major shift in the perception and adopting of homeschooling? Because I'll share with you, you know, I was homeschooled for a time when I was when I was in junior high. And it was not well received publicly. There were not any co-ops, right? There weren't any other kids in my church who were being homeschooled. There was no online curriculum. There were no support groups. It was really different.
You were the weirdo.
I was the weirdo. Yes, absolutely. I was like okay, she's got the homemade clothes and no social skills, like that stereotype, you know, which some of those things, I like the homemade clothes. But anyway, what is changing? What's changing in the country today?
Oh, goodness, so many things. And no doubt, you know, the pandemic played a role in that. So many people were forced to do school from home. And I think I like to tell people who had that experience to rest assured, that's not what homeschooling looks like. We're not doing distance learning. It doesn't have to look, if you had a bad experience. But I do think in that process, a lot of people who maybe weren't real tuned into what their kids were doing in their school suddenly had a good look at what they were doing, and parents started to say, really? Maybe we could do better. Like, I think we could do this thing at home and maybe give you an even better education. So I think that opened some people's minds to the idea. But then also, there's no doubt for especially Christian families, we're looking at the culture and just seeing this rapidly changing, you know, whole movement that is infiltrating, like I said, not just public schools, but pretty much our entire culture and society. And as families are seeing that, they're just wanting to protect and rescue their kids from this movement. And I think because of that, people are a little bit more open than they used to be. And thankfully, that's helping us get rid of some of those stereotypes that I grew up with. And I think people are realizing that maybe homeschoolers aren't all weirdos. And, you know, there's some of them out there for sure. But there's also some weird kids at every kind of school, right?
Well, there are, every family is uniquely different, right? We all have our idiosyncrasies, and that is great. That is the way that God designed us. And that's one thing I also appreciate, Monica, is that you talk about that, you know, homeschooling is not a solution for all families, but you believe if many would really try it, they would find it to be a good educational solution. And I shared with you before that, you know, I thought about that when I first started having kids, and I just had so much fear, honestly, thinking, I'm not a teacher. And so, a lot of the things that you address in the book, thinking my oldest and I, we clash wills all the time. Like, how is this going to be? Like, what does this look like for, you know, for employment? And do I have a job or not have a job? You know, all of those things. Right. But you give families questions that they can consider, and actually a quiz they can take to see, is this a good fit for your wonderfully weird family?
Exactly. Yes. There's so many legitimate concerns and questions people have, and that really was the heart behind this book. Was I remembered when I was starting off and just thinking, will somebody tell me, you know, the practical stuff? Like, it's one thing to give parents these fuzzy, beautiful, you know, pictures of laying under a tree on a blanket with your kids reading classical literature. Well, that's real nice. But I wanted someone to tell me, Monica, you could actually give your kids a good enough education. Like, I wasn't looking for the full, crunchy homeschool picture. I just wanted to know, could I give them enough to get them into college if they chose college one day? And so this book is for all the parents out there who aren't necessarily dreaming of being homeschoolers, but they're like, that might be my best option. Can I do it without completely losing my life? Can I give them a good enough education that if they choose to go to college one day, they can? And the answer is yes, and I want to hold your hand and walk you through every step of the way.
And you actually talk about some of the statistics that show that kids who are homeschooled do have a great education, and in many cases, a better education than they would have gotten in another setting, and how they're very competitive for college entry. Yeah. And it helps, Monica, that you're living this. I mean, you have kids now who you have your oldest son has graduated from college now. So what has that been like to see the fruition of that? You can read about it, but you've lived it.
Yes, yes. And as we record, son number two is about to graduate with a mechanical engineering degree. And so there will be two college graduates in the family. And I'll say one thing I love to hear from them is my boys tell me that college for them has felt a lot like homeschooling. They say that they feel so prepared because, really, they said the only difference is they have to walk down the road to their classes, because they said we still have to organize our time. Time management is huge. We still have the same basic setup as we had when we were homeschooling, whereas a lot of their friends have struggled because they were in a setting where everything was laid out for them, what they had to do, and they, when somebody's not hovering over them, they often neglect to organize their time. So our boys have felt really well prepared for college. They both got almost full ride scholarships to private Christian colleges and have just thrived there. They've kept their faith. It's just been an incredible experience. And again, I was not the mom who was completely prepared for all of this. I learned as I went, and I say, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
It's so true. And one of the things that you talk about a lot in your book, Monica, is freedom being one of the biggest benefits of homeschooling. And I have to admit, I have not recovered from a video you posted on your Instagram of what your boys all being home for Christmas, and they're all playing instruments and they're singing together. And you're thinking, like, how can I bottle that and bring it home to my family? But I really think that one of the things that you have bottled up is the freedom that you've had from homeschooling, and the fact that they've been together. They've been learning together. You've been able to reshuffle your schedule to prioritize family time. And one of the statistics you share in this book, you said that when kids go to a traditional school, they spend more than 14,000 hours of their growing up years in school. 14,000 hours. And you talked about how your heart rate jumped when you saw that number. That's more of their waking hours than they would spend anywhere else, including at home. I mean, that really is compelling, and that should make any parent anywhere think, okay, this may not be the right choice for our family, but let's at least give it some consideration. Well, when we come back, I want to hear from you, Monica, your perspective about that freedom that you have and the 20 good reasons to homeschool your kids and 10 things homeschoolers get to avoid. I loved both of these lists, and we'll be right back with Monica Swanson on becoming homeschoolers. Don't go away. Why is our society so ravenous to abort babies? According to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents, and sickly believe their blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle, and their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. And every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Best day, your worst day, some Tuesday or your birthday. Every day's a good day. Now let me tell you why. If you got air in your lungs, you got blood in your body, you are a child of God. Come on and sing it, somebody.
On my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child of God. Oh, every day is a good day.
You're the reason why
I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Got this heartbeat in my chest.
That is so true. We are so blessed. On our best day, we're a child of God. On our worst day, we're still a child of God. And some of Monica Swanson's best days that she has ever had are homeschooling her kids. So we're talking to Monica Swanson, the author of Becoming Homeschoolers. Give your kids a great education, a strong family, and a life they'll thank you for later. She has shared her journey, not as part of her family story, but as the main story in her parenting. And she's got four boys. And Monica, before the break, we were talking about freedom as one of the biggest benefits of homeschooling. So what did that lifestyle allow you and your family to do that just wouldn't have been possible in another educational setting?
Yes, it's such a good question. And I think for those of us who have homeschooled our kids, that's going to be at the top of our list for things. Even if it wasn't there at the beginning, when we look back, we're all like, oh, yeah, living here in Hawaii, travel is not easy. As you know, you've made the trek across the ocean. And so for us, a huge benefit has been to be able to go visit family, take vacations when everyone else is still in school. We've had that freedom to work around my husband's work schedule. When he's off work, we can take time to go do things with Dad that, you know, maybe we wouldn't be able to do if kids were in school all day. And then probably also near the top of our list is, since my 20-year-old son is a professional surfer and my 13-year-old plans to be a professional golfer, we've really been able to pursue the passions and interests that our kids have on a schedule that works for them. School can work around sports. My second son was active on a speech and debate team. And there's just been so many opportunities to pursue passions and interests. And, you know, when kids are tired, let them sleep in. It's okay. They're allowed to. If their bodies need sleep, they can sleep. If we need a mental health day, we can take one. So I think that freedom has really blessed us on so many levels.
Well, I'm sure you piqued some interest in saying one of your sons is a professional surfer, and it has been so fun, Monica, to watch your boys' journey. They were just featured in a golf TV show, which was really exciting to show that they're doing that. And so I think a lot of families have questions about sports. Can homeschool children participate in competitive or in individual sports? And it almost sounds laughable to ask you this, but Monica, was it possible for your children to become professional athletes despite being homeschooled their whole lives? And what did that look like for you?
Yes, it's such a good question. In fact, I dedicate a whole chapter to this topic in the book, because as much as I want to paint a perfect flowery picture of homeschooling, I will say that sports are a little bit tricky. And along with so many other things in the book, I include a really packed resource section because I want to give parents the practical help that they need. So in that resource section, you're going to find out just where to go to find out, because it is truly state by state in this situation. And so when it comes to team sports, unfortunately, sometimes homeschoolers are not able to have the same experience they would if they went to a public school. I know here in Hawaii, they don't allow homeschooled kids to participate in public school sports. And so if my kids were basketball players or football players, this would be an issue for us. Now, there's options, and we talk about it in the book. You know, there are charter programs that are, you know, a way to homeschool by still kind of going through the public school system. So there's plenty of options. Sometimes there's hybrid situations, and on the mainland, you've got lots of options. Here in Hawaii, we've had limited options, but I will say for those doing individual sports like golf and surfing, homeschooling's been great for that. But it's, there are some nuances that everyone will want to check out when it comes to their state and homeschooling, and I got you covered. All the resources are in the book.
And that's what I appreciate about it, because you don't paint an overly rosy picture. It's not just a, hey, here's the way to sell homeschooling to you.
Yes.
You really address things very head on. You are very candid. And that's really helpful in reading through it, because it's all the questions that are in people's minds, but they're afraid to ask. They're thinking, this is what I really want to ask about homeschooling, but I feel like it might be offensive or rude if I ask this. You just ask it for them, which I love. And you know, not all families do sports. Some of them have other or extracurriculars or electives that they have. But there are ways that homeschooling allows you to help your children develop those God-given passions and interests, or explore career opportunities, or develop life skills. So for those that are not in sports, what are those other options? What do those look like?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And again, same rules will apply to things like theater or music. If you have a child who wants to pursue band and you're homeschooling privately, not through a charter program, that's something you're going to have to explore through your individual district and state. But I'll say for us, I feel like homeschooling just opened up so many doors for our boys to pursue things that interested them. And some of the things I love is our boys got jobs. They were able to do internships. My oldest son, his freshman year, a couple days a week, I drove him to a surfboard shaper, which in Hawaii is a pretty legit career. And he worked and learned the business. He swept floors. By the time they could drive themselves, my boys were working at a restaurant. And I feel like some of these life experiences really shaped them and built character in them that they wouldn't be able to have just sitting at home doing school all day. So we really tried to push them out, nudge them to give them these opportunities. And then while they were at home, of course, they had more freedom and time to pursue things that interested them. My oldest son was really into computer coding. He created videos and took photos and posted them online. Well, now he studied data analytics and got a job in Santa Barbara working straight out of college and is completely independent. And so it's kind of fun now to look back on the things that interested them growing up and how that's led them into their college choices and a career path. So lots of options, lots of opportunities. Not all of them you're going to have in a public school. It might be different, but goodness, there's a lot of good stuff out there.
Well, and those are reasons that parents would choose homeschooling, but you are very honest about talking about some of the common reasons that they wouldn't choose it, that they would avoid it. And you talk about that fear of missing out, the FOMO on socialization, thinking that's a very common criticism that I hear, that kids who are homeschooled are not social. I think your kids are definitely a good case to say that is not the case. But a lot of parents feel like, I don't have the patience for that. Or they think, I don't have the credentials. I'm not a teacher. Or I have to work because that we need that income. And you are very honest in saying, hey, it's not always easy, but here are some of the points and counterpoints to some of those common reasons. So what do you see as the most common reasons, Monica? And what would you say to parents who are thinking through all of those things that you once thought when you were considering this as an option?
Yes. So chapter 3 is called Why Not? And it is 11 reasons families don't try homeschooling or don't stick with it. And this is where I come in with some big sister love, I like to call it. But I address some of the reasons people give that I might say are typically more smoke screens. It's the things like, you know, oh, I don't have the patience. And I look at everyone straight in the eye and say, either do I. But God has grown so much patience in me through homeschooling. Mm-hmm. That might be a good reason to try it. I mean, as parents, we all could develop more patience. Well, homeschooling is a great way to grow that. But then I'm also going into some of the real reasons that I think are worthy of some consideration. And you know, if you've got two parents who both need to work, can you homeschool? Yes. I give you lots of resources from people who walk you through that, who are, you know, single moms or working moms who homeschool. But sometimes that can be really hard, and I get that. And I'm not going to say homeschooling is for everyone across the board. So I acknowledge that there are times where that's really difficult. But I also say, is this a need thing or a want thing? I know families who have given up one of the parents' jobs. They've either downsized or maybe skipped the family's vacation or sold a car or gotten really extreme because they say homeschooling is so worth it to them. So that might be something to consider. But then I also cover things like, you know, if there's a serious health issue in the family, especially a mental health issue, perhaps school is a real blessing to be able to send kids to a traditional school if mom or dad is struggling with mental health issues. So there's times where I say, absolutely, God bless you. If one of your children has severe special needs and a school system can provide help for that, you know, I'm not going to tell you to not send your kid to school if there's benefits that I know would be a blessing to your family. So these are all things to think about, to weigh out, but also some of these things can be put to rest if you walk through it and look at all the options you have through homeschooling.
And that was my experience in reading the book, Monica. I did feel like you were having what you called a big sister moment. It was like big sister Monica coming in and saying, okay, yes, you are justified in thinking this and being concerned about this. And then some things I would think, okay, you're just calling my bluff here. These are my reasons not to. And you're like, yeah, no, yeah. That's not really a real thing. So I think that readers will appreciate that kind of honest back and forth. And in fact, you start the book by talking about 20 good reasons to homeschool your kids, followed by 10 things that homeschoolers get to avoid. So how do those two lists highlight how homeschooling is really not just an alternative to other forms of school? It's something, it's a lifestyle that you intentionally choose.
Yes, yes. Well, I love writing these. In fact, it was writing these two sections that you just named that my heart just was so full. I was like, I don't think I even realized how much I loved my homeschool journey until I look back and I think about it. But, you know, at the top of my personal list for reasons to homeschool would be things like you already mentioned. My boys, as this airs, my boys are on a road trip together, on a hiking trip in California, and they just choose one another. Their friendship with one another is one of my favorite things in the world, and their faith that they were able to develop and really solidify those roots before they went away to college, those are the things that matter to me. But for those who are really academically inclined and concerned, I also go over statistics like the fact that homeschool students consistently perform or outperform traditionally schooled kids on SAT tests. And like you already alluded to, the fact that colleges are recruiting homeschool kids more and more because they say that they're recognizing that these homeschool kids are really good at time management, they're self-directed, they're really good students to have on campus. And then, you know, there's a whole list here of things, but then we get to the list of things kids get to avoid, and I'll say that more and more today, these might be the things motivating parents to want to homeschool. It's things like getting to avoid the concern about school violence. That's one of the top motivating factors today is parents don't want to wonder if their kids are safe in a school out, away from home. Other things kids get to avoid, my goodness, bullying. As you know, Jessica, is such a such an issue in our schools today, all of the bullying that can happen and exposure to drugs, alcohol. There's a lot of things homeschool kids are protected from in the safety of their home. And now this doesn't mean they're never exposed to it, doesn't mean they're being raised in a closet. It just means that they're not put in front of these things day after day after day for those 14,000 hours you referred to. So there's a lot kids get to avoid, and there's a lot of blessings in their homeschool journey.
You know, I think this is one of the most debated topics that I hear when people talking about homeschool. And a lot of parents will say, well, we need to be light in our community and we want to be lights in our schools. And there is a position for that. There is an argument for that, because absolutely we do need to be light in our community. But there's also the balance of that is that kids are kids. And a lot of times kids are not yet prepared or mature enough to be able to handle some of those situations that are coming their way. And what I hear people say is that, you know, kids are homeschooled or not socialized, and then they can't go to college and they're not going to be prepared. How do they go from being at home to being at this college campus with thousands and hold their beliefs? But Monica, I think you affirm in the book that that's exactly what happens, because they've been prepared and nurtured in an environment that intentionally exposes to them to things in a developmentally appropriate way that is controlled by the parent, and they go out into the world confident in their worldview, and they are ready to do that. Would you agree with that assessment?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I love to use the greenhouse analogy of, you know, we, as intentional parents, we want to expose our kids more and more to what's going on in the world, but we want to do it in a methodical fashion. We want to be the ones making that choice. Now, can parents do it poorly? Absolutely, yes. But I'm going to assume that readers are going to take this seriously and run with it and really look for those opportunities to put their kids in environments that will show them what's going on in the world, but also give them the critical thinking skills they need to face those things. And I love that you brought up just the idea of kids being lights in their school, because my husband and I both have such a heart for evangelism. Our oldest son, you know, can't get on an airplane without sharing the gospel with the person sitting next to him. I mean, we have raised our kids to be kids who want to share the gospel. So trust me, that is ingrained in our family. But I also really wanted to address this in, you know, biblically speaking, looking at what Scripture has to say. When Jesus says to go out in the world and make disciples, he's speaking to adults, not children. Mm-hmm. The one verse that is really about children, Matthew 19:14, says, let the little children come to me. So I just think that our job as parents is to point our kids to Jesus, to give them that solid foundation, to, yes, teach them skills to communicate their faith and look for opportunities as they're growing up through sports and all the places they go out into the world. But really, that's a heavy burden to put on a kid, to throw them into a school with a bunch of peers who probably mostly come from very different homes than yours and expect them to be little evangelists. I say, I think that's a bit of a burden to put on a child. So let's prepare them well at home. Let's give them opportunities. But most of all, let's point them to Jesus so that one day when they do leave the home, they don't go to college and deconstruct like we hear all the time, but instead they have strong roots and they're ready to then come alongside their friends and share the gospel as adults when that day comes.
And still being lights in your community, serving and volunteering.
Absolutely.
And even in your interactions, like you said, on the plane, at the grocery store, you know, all of those kinds of things. I think that's one of the common misconceptions is that, you know, you're not, like you said, educating kids in a closet or putting them in a bubble. You're still interacting and engaging with your community, but in a way that looks different. Well, when we come back, Monica, I want to get down to some of those age transitions and talk about preschool to middle school to high school and what those transitions look like. We'll be right back. Well, that is a good word about being a light, and that's exactly what we were just talking about, is being a light in the world, whether your kids are homeschooled, whether they're traditionally schooled, whether they're in a private school. We can all be a light in this world, and Monica Swanson is shining a light on the world of homeschooling for us today. She is the author of many books, but her latest book is called Becoming Homeschoolers: Give Your Kids a Great Education, a Strong Family, and a Life They'll Thank You For Later. And I've been sharing throughout the program, I've read an advanced copy of this book, and it is such a great, honest Q&A. So if you are one of those moms, like I was, who was secretly wondering, should I or shouldn't I? Like in the back of my mind somewhere, I have this thought that maybe I could do this, but I've never had the courage to say that out loud. This book is for you. Monica answers all of the questions that you're too embarrassed, too shy, or too scared to ask. Honestly, she does. It's such a helpful, nitty-gritty, balanced view from, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, Monica. It's all in here, which I absolutely love. And, you know, let's talk through some of these phases. You started in preschool. You didn't homeschool your kids for preschool. But what should parents keep in mind? What did you learn from that preschool stage as you were transitioning to your own homeschool journey?
Yes. Well, preschool is such a magical time. And I just, those little ones are so much work and so precious. And what I know now is looking back, I think, I had some fear in me that I didn't want to have to deal with the all day long and the crafts and the glitter and all the things that I think.
But the goldfish. Yes, but you know my goodness.
Yes. Right. So I think preschool can be such a sweet time to really build a foundation and to teach things just like character and manners and to build a rhythm into your day that then you can build a homeschool life on top of. I think giving kids kind of that structure is really healthy and really good for the whole family. So preschool is a sweet time, and I share resources. And, you know, for those who are like, could I keep them home? I share, I think, enough practical help in here that you'll have the confidence to know you can do that.
And, you know, one of the things that you share authentically, Monica, is when you were first thinking about this and you asked your husband, Dave, about it, he didn't jump up and down and say, like, yes, that is great. That's exactly the solution we're looking for. Right. He kind of said the opposite.
Right. And the more and more I talk to homeschool families, this seems to be a very common story. So for anyone out there listening who's like, oh, yeah, my husband or my wife or, you know, there's one of us would be anti, I just encourage you to do what I did, and that was say, hey, could I have a trial run? Can you give us 1 year? Let us try it and see how it goes. And by the end of that year, he was convinced that this was the best choice for our family. So I'm thankful for that.
More than convinced and supportive and just praising you for taking that leap of faith. And that's the beautiful thing about marriage and partnership. And, you know, Monica, some parents will choose to send their kids to public elementary school and they think, okay, when they get older, you know, when junior high gets really bad and scary, you know, when high school gets scary, we'll do it. But what are the benefits of starting in the elementary years?
Oh, goodness. Yes. Well, I think perhaps that line of thinking was pretty good one maybe 10 to 20 years ago. But I think the things that scared us about middle school and high school back then are now in the public, are in the elementary schools, even down to kindergarten or preschool, because kids are coming from families who are embracing all kinds of, you know, different morals and values and philosophies than we have as Christian families. And so when you send your kids to school, it's not just what the teacher is teaching, it's what's happening on the playground, it's what kids are bringing on their little devices. So there's plenty to be concerned about in elementary school years. And so unfortunately, the world just isn't what it used to be. And not to, you know, push a fear kind of mentality, but there are some things that are worth being fearful of. There's a reason why we need to protect our kids, because it's a dark world out there. So, you know, at the very least, preparing your kids well, having the conversations, as you always talk about, I know. But then there's also a time to just say, you know what, this isn't an environment I want to send them to, and we can do this at home just as well or even better.
I think there's some parents who think, okay, I can imagine myself being an elementary teacher. I can put up with the glue and the glitter and the scissors, and I can do elementary math, you know, which, you know, we won't even go into the whole debate that is Common Core, right? And all of those kinds of things. But think like, okay, I can teach you to do this in a way that I know and with the resources that are available. But then we get to that middle school time, and there, you and I have such a similar heartbeat for this, Monica. There are so many people who think that is like the worst time. I cannot imagine being with a junior higher, you know, at home.
Yeah.
But you say, and I so agree, it's one of your favorite seasons. Why is that?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Those sweet middle schoolers. It's such a challenging, funny, awkward, you know, any of us can look back. I always say middle school is my favorite time for everyone but me. Like, I remember it being awful. But because of that, I'm like, these kids need a safe place to land. They need that unconditional love where when they walk out with their hair different one day and trying a different look of how they're dressing, like being home, if there's ever a time to homeschool your kids, I say middle school is the time because they're transitioning in every way. I do take time in the middle school chapter to really walk through, hey, what are kids actually going through in middle school? And I talk about developmentally, about puberty, about all of the different social and spiritual things that a middle schooler is going through. And I think that alone should make us say, wow, they need a special place where they're really feeling safe and secure because there's a lot going on in middle school. And the good news is when it comes to the educational part, there are so many resources out there that make our job so much easier. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to be able to teach. You know, my eighth grader right now has been learning physics in his science class, and I'm like, thank God for good curriculum because I would be lost right now eighth grade.
Oh, yeah.
So lots of resources out there.
That's why I am so glad that I'm married to a rocket scientist, Monica. He does all the things with numbers and I do all the things with words. And I'm not just talking about school. That's like our whole parenting and marriage experience. Like, this involves words. You're going to need to go see your mom. I can help you with the numbers on that. But you know, Monica, the truth is you've been talking about this frequently, but the world has changed significantly. Mm. And there are a lot of Instagram reels and TikTok videos that talk about middle schoolers today. I mean, we talk about when we were in middle school, we're talking about like retainers and just awkwardness, you know, like pimples, horrible makeup. Yes exactly.
Yes.
Now, middle schoolers, they're talking about their seven-step, $700 skincare regime and, you know, their makeup channel. And there's a lot of pressure for kids to look perfect and to act just right and to navigate that whole social media thing. I mean, I think just the pull of that, thinking that if you're homeschooling your middle schoolers, you don't have to have fights about what they're wearing to school every day, about what's modest or immodest or cool or not cool or in or out. You don't have to worry about, you know, their hair being perfect, them having the right makeup, all of that. Like there's a little protection from that, which I think is helpful. And especially, you know, you have social media. I don't. You have a phone. I don't. But so I think there's a lot of compelling there. But there's a lot of parents who are most trepidatious about high school because of what you just said. Like, I don't know physics. Yep. And am I really going to prepare them for college? And are they going to miss out on some of those social things like prom or, you know, other things that may seem trivial, but were special to you when you think about that? Seems that the environment I least feel equipped to replicate. So what do you say about transitioning to high school?
Oh, goodness. All such good things. Like we could have a full hour conversation about that. But what I will say is, everything you need is in this chapter. I mean, I think the biggest concerns people have are, can I prepare my child for college? Can I create a high school transcript? And the good news is, as homeschooling has grown so much, there are more and more resources that literally free resources you can find that help you create your own transcript. And it's not as hard as you might think. Do you need to be intentional? Yes. But it's not as hard as you probably imagine. But then with that, high school, prom, social experiences, one thing I've found is that I think us as parents make some of those things a bigger deal than they actually are to our kids. I think I was worried about things like prom, and my sons were like, Mom, that's on you. I'm not even thinking about it. Like, I'm okay over here. However, a couple of my kids have gone to prom because they're friends in the youth group with kids who go to a public school, so they have had that opportunity. But I think in general, we need to realize that there is no perfect education. There will be pros and cons to every single way we can go. And so for all the good of homeschooling, will our kids miss out on a few things? Yes, they will. Are they going to be okay? Yes, they will. So every kid's situation is going to look different depending on the where you live and the opportunities you have. There are places that have a homeschool prom. My boys got to walk and do a real homeschool graduation ceremony through a place here in Hawaii that gathers all the homeschool kids, and we have a real graduation ceremony. So there's a lot of opportunities to create your own memories that are just as good. They're just going to be different, and I think different isn't all bad.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here, Monica, and I'm going to express an unpopular opinion. So listeners, Don't come at me here. I'm just going to tell you, though, how it is. I think sometimes when we think about some of those high school experiences, just like we were just talking about, sometimes in today's parenting, we give kids too much too early. I mean, I really had a gut check. This started when one of my youngest was in kindergarten. And Monica, I walked into the Christmas party at school. And I am not exaggerating. I am not. When I say it was nicer than my wedding reception. It was, because my wedding reception was in a gym with cocktail weenies, you know? I mean, it was not a glamorous affair. But I'm walking in, and here each child has their own personalized monogrammed cookie that goes in their monogrammed stocking, that goes in their monogrammed backpack.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, when we're looking at this, and then I think about prom, you know, I'm taking my daughter to prom. And I am not hating on all the moms who have that as a gift. Part of that is I don't have that gift. You know, I can't make a beautiful event. And there are some moms who do that, and I latch on to them, and I thank them for everything that they're doing. But there is something to be said for, if we give our kids all of these experiences and then they go out into the world, what do they have to look forward to?
100%.
I'll just get your feedback. You want to join me out on the limb?
Oh my goodness. No, I think this, you know, and this isn't even just, like you said, it's not just a homeschooling topic. This is a parenting topic. We want our kids to have things to look forward to. And I agree with you 100% that we're just, and unfortunately, it's just the nature of our culture right now is everything comes so quick and so easy. And so I think that part of character building is choosing as parents to say, we're going to make them wait on that. We're going to make them work and wait. And there are age-appropriate times to give kids what's next. But what's hard is when they're in an environment where they're the only one. You know, I get emails from people and they're like, my son is the only one of his friends who doesn't get to play this certain video game. How do I navigate that? I don't want him to feel like, you know, left out. And those are some difficult parenting situations that we need to navigate. But when they're homeschooled, we do get the chance again to avoid some of those pressures that just come inherent with being in an environment where everybody else is doing something. So I think that might be one of the benefits of homeschooling.
And, you know, I think one of the things that has really just happened so beautifully from your family, Monica, from the outside looking in, is that your kids are very confident in their family identity. And I know from research that when kids have confidence, even when they're, like we talked about earlier, every family is wonderfully weird. But if you are weird together, you decide, hey, we're going to be the family that does, you know, this together. We're the family that likes to go and hike. Mm-hmm. We're the family that cans all of our own jelly or whatever it's going to be. When you have that safe place to come home to and you think, yeah, I know you think this is weird, but we do this together. That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, Monica, you're right. We could talk forever and ever and ever, but we're at the end of the show. We just have a couple of minutes left. What do you hope families most take away from reading Becoming Homeschoolers?
I hope that families will just realize that they have options, that if things are not going well for you right now, there are options, and they're probably not as hard or scary as you work up in your mind that they're going to be. If you've got little kids, there are options. You've got lots of time. Curriculum isn't the most important thing. You can try something and switch. Really, what's important is that you're there for your kids, that they know that you are there to support them every step of the way, and that you're prayerfully exploring all the options, and knowing that, you know, one year might look different from the next, but God is with you, and there are definitely resources and support out there that will help you take that next step.
Well, Monica, thank you so much for taking the time with us. I hope that if you are that parent who's thinking, let me tell you, Monica Swanson provides the definitive guidebook for parents considering home education and becoming homeschoolers. This book will give you practical advice, joyful inspiration, and informative answers to the most often asked questions about homeschooling. So I hope that you will pick up your copy today, and I hope that you'll connect with Monica on her community. You can go to monicaswanson.com to find out where to find her on social media and in her podcast. The book is called Becoming Homeschoolers. Give your kids a great education, a strong family, and a life they'll thank you for later. And in the meantime, friends, may the Lord bless you you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace. And we'll see you next time here, prescribing more hope for healthy families.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family
Faith,
Radio.
Family. Freedom. American Family Radio.